Good morning. It is good to be here with you all today. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together for a little bit. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you, God, because you love us. Thank you, God, that we see your love and we remember Jesus and what he did on the cross. More than anything, that shows us how much you love us. And now as we open this book and we read the words that you have written for us, we ask God that you would help us hear your voice, that you would draw our hearts and our minds to you, to know you and to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So flip over to Colossians, and we will get there in a moment. We're going to read a little text today, and this text raises up, it's a small text, but it raises up a pretty big question. The question is, okay, what in your life is going to matter? What in your life will matter when your life is over? And not just, you know, like right after it's over, but, you know, give it a couple generations. A couple generations go by, and what of, you know, the time you spent on earth, the time I spent on earth, what of our lives will matter after a little bit of time goes by, after we're not here anymore? What meaning will your life have? What legacy will you leave behind? And asking that question, and I don't know how often you think about that. Anyway, I won't get distracted right out of the gate. We'll say that for later. Okay, so I think about that question occasionally, and when I do, it makes me just kind of have a little bit of fear. Just a little bit of fear comes into my mind, because asking that question, what will my life be worth? What meaning does my life have? Not right in this moment, but for, you know, years and years and for eternity, for the time after I'm gone. Asking that question makes me think, okay, there's a huge tragedy that could easily happen to me, that could easily happen to you. We all are at great risk of falling into something that it's tragic. It's called the wasted life. We can live our lives, we could go through however many years we have, get to the end, and then if we have just a brief moment at the very end, it's possible to get to the end, and no matter how good or bad we are, to look back and say, I wasted it. I let all that time go by, and nothing happened, nothing went by in my life, and I didn't do anything that will actually last after I take this next last breath. That's a wasted life. It's going through life and then being able to look back and say, it's not going to matter, what will my life be worth? And it's a tragedy to waste your life, because it doesn't have to be that way. But what we're going to look at today will tell us you can literally do things in your life that will last for all of eternity. So to not do those things is a tragedy, and it's a very easy tragedy. It's a very common tragedy, though, for us to fall into. It's kind of what automatically happens if we just live our life day to day and don't think about what will my life be worth. We end up living in such a way without even thinking about it, without even having to do anything special, that we get to the end and say, I think I might have wasted a lot of that. And the text we're going to look at today saves us. It shows us how we can live our lives in such a way that when we get to the end, we can look back and say, there's good, there's bad, but it wasn't wasted. What I've done will live on, not just after I'm gone, but for all of eternity, lives that actually count. So we're going to drop into the book of Colossians in the middle of it. And okay, we're only going to look at a couple of verses, but just to put those in kind of context of what they mean and where they're found in the middle of. So Colossians is a book that Paul wrote, and it describes what the life in Christ looks like. What does it mean to be God's child? So the first half, chapters 1 and 2, go into great depth on what does it mean to be God's child, and what do you have if you are God's child? When you've given yourself to Jesus, when you've repented and been baptized and put on Christ as your Savior and Lord, What does that mean? Who are you? What do you have? What does God give you? How does he give you that? What does grace look like? So it's all of that, and that's not today's message, but that's what's gotten us to today. And then Paul turns a corner, and we just talked about this last week, where he says, okay, if this is who you are and what you have in Christ, then this is how you should live. So this is the practical part of the book, and the rest of the book is going to be very, very practical. And he starts out with the first instruction. If you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, then this is how you should live. And the first thing that he says is that this is how you should think. This is what your mindset should be. This is what you should focus on. So he's going to give us one instruction today, and the instruction has to do with our minds. And in this instruction, we find how not to waste our lives. So let's read Colossians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. And he connects this with, you know, the reason why we would do what he's going to say next. If then you have been raised with Christ. So if you're new, if you're a Christian, if you're God's child, if his spirit lives in you, if you've been made new, if you've risen from the dead with Jesus, if you're God's child, then, so if you are God's child, then do what? Seek the things that are above. That's what you should do. It's a mindset. It's a place. Isn't it funny how, okay, when you think, okay, what? How do Christians live? What should Christians do? Probably the first thing that comes to mind are some sort of a list of I should do this and I shouldn't do that and I can't do this anymore and I have to do this. Paul doesn't start there. He says, if you're a Christian, first thing you got to do, you got to put your mind somewhere. You have to think about something. You have to put your focus somewhere. So what does he say with that? Set your mind on things above. He's saying focus on something. The focus of your life should be, and then he's going to unpack it in the next couple of verses. What does it look like? What do Christians think about? What do Christians focus their life on? And in order to answer that, you have to step back for a minute and say, okay, what's focus? When he says seek the things that are above, when I focus on something, what does it mean to focus on something? Well, it's what you think about when you don't have to think about something. Like if you're working, you know, you have to think about whatever they're paying you to think about. But what about those moments when you don't have to think about something, when you can think about whatever you want? That's what you're focused on. It's what you desire. It's what you want to do. It's when you have some free time. If I could just get some time, carve out some time, you know, this weekend and get family stuff taken care of, it, I could do this. Whatever that is, that's what we focus on. What do you focus on? That's what he's going to talk about. What do you desire? What do you seek for? What do you look for? What do you want? What do you talk about? Isn't that where what we focus on comes out of us? How do I know what you like and what your life is kind of focused on? What do you talk about? When I let, you know, ask you a couple questions and kind of let the conversation go wherever you want it to go, won't what you like and what you're into come out? It just naturally comes out of us. Our focus is whatever that is it's wherever our mind is put on. So he says, seek the things that are above. That's our focus. And our focus is important because it determines, and this is probably why he starts with this when he says how Christians should live for the next couple of chapters. He starts with our mindset. Why? Because, well, what we focus on determines how we live. Whatever I'm going after, that's going to determine what I do, what I most want. That's not just what I'm going to ask for my birthday. It's what I'm going to think about and what I'm going to pursue and what I'm going to save up for and what I'm going to put my time towards. It's whatever I'm focused on is going to determine whatever my actions will end up being. It'll affect everything that I do in my life. It'll affect how I spend my time and my money and what my life really is about. Someday when, you know, you're talking about me in past tense, you'll say, he really was into, and you'll say, whatever I was focused on, that's what we're focused on. It determines what we end up doing with our life. And the opposite is also true. What we do with our life determines what our focus is. Whatever projects and people you put into your life, whatever you choose to do with your life, that kind of drives our focus. If I know if I start getting into cars, then nothing good or bad about getting into cars, but just, you know, for example, if I start getting into cars and fixing cars and learning about cars and buying old cars and fixing them up, I know that that's probably going to kind of turn into my focus, and I'm going to be asking my wife for a new muffler for my birthday, and I'm going to be taking my boys out to the garage and working on and getting greasy, and that's just going to, and then you're going to say, hey, how you been? I've been pretty good. What have you been up to? Well, I got this car, and it's a, man, it doesn't work yet, but I, and that's what I'll talk about, and what we do determines what our focus is. It takes us in a direction. It makes us put our minds in a certain place. Paul says, seek the things that are above. And right away, there's kind of a clash with me, at least, in my everyday life, because I was thinking about this week. What am I focused on? What do I talk about and think about? And when I have those 5 minutes at the end of the night, and you know, when I could do whatever I want, you know, everybody's getting ready for bed, and I have there's a little time. What do I do? What do I think about? What do I want? I started thinking about it. He says, set your minds on things above, seek the things that are above. Most of the time, don't we kind of tend to focus on things that are like here? Stuff that we can touch and feel and get into and, you know, figure out how to do on YouTube and buy on Amazon and put together. And don't we focus our lives on stuff that's around us and stuff that's here? My life tends to be focused on how can I be happy here and how can I be comfortable now and how can I be entertained in this moment and how can I be successful in my life? That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? I mean, if I were to preach for the next month on how to be successful in work and in life, and that would be a wonderful series, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be overly biblical, though, because but we tend to focus our lives on what being comfortable and happy and entertained here, and then our lives tend to follow that focus. So then our money and our thoughts and our worries and our prayers. You ever think about our prayer list, what we pray about? That shows what our focus is. And how often do our prayers kind of trend towards make me happy and healthy and comfortable here? Because that's what our focus tends to be. And so then we tend to be overly concerned with this life, which is kind of the opposite of what Paul is starting to say. Seek the things that are above. So just think for a moment. Where do you spend your time and your money and your thoughts and your desires and your prayers? And what is that focused on? He says it should be things above. What are things above? Well, let's keep reading. He'll tell us things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What kind of things are those? He immediately goes to eternal things, right? He says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's talking about Christ being seated on his throne at the right hand of his Father, ruling and reigning over all. He's talking about eternal stuff. He immediately takes it out of this world context. He immediately takes it out of this existence, and he takes it up to an eternal existence. So he's saying, seek things that are eternal. Seek things that will last forever. Seek things that will set your mind on things that will matter after this life is over, where Christ is seated on his throne, he's reigning with God. He's saying, seek the things that have to do with the kingdom of God, with Christ's rule and reign, the restoration of all things, especially people with their Creator. Seek things that are eternal. So I would look at this verse and I would say, I think what he's saying, the big idea out of this is God's children should live focused. We should live focused on what's eternal. We should live as people who think about and focus our lives and seek after what will last for all of eternity. So then that raises another question. So what will last for all of eternity? What's eternal? If I'm supposed to focus on that, then what is eternal? What will last for all of eternity? And most of the stuff that I focus on in my life that I get into won't last for all of eternity. It doesn't last for very long. What does last for all of eternity? Isn't the essence of what will last for all of eternity, isn't it being God's child? Isn't it having a relationship with God? Isn't that the one thing that you can take with you from this life, your relationship, you knowing God? Look down in verse 3 and 4.
He talks about that. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What are things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? It's knowing Christ. It's making our decision to give ourselves to him, to repent and be baptized and become God's child. It's living close to God. It's knowing him more and more. That's what will last forever. It's our relationship with God. It's other people's relationship with God too, because what you can take with you, what I can take with me is me spending eternity with God and having helped other people spend eternity with God. That's what is eternal. It's knowing God and helping other people know God. That's what we can take with us out of this life. It's our relationship with God. It's helping other people know God. That is the only thing that we can take with us out of this life. And so that is what is eternal. That is what will last forever. And having an eternal focus then becomes focusing our lives primarily on those two things, me knowing God and me helping other people know God. That's what an eternal focus is. That's having an eternal focus, helping other people know God and helping myself know God. And I read something in a book that whenever this kind of verse comes up, this phrase, this thing comes back into my mind, and it just, I remember it. Actually, whenever anybody dies, like Chuck Berry died this week, or anybody in on the news that you've like heard about your whole life, and then they pass away, and whenever anyone passes away, that, you know, it's like, oh, that person, I just, the phrase comes to mind. It's this thing that I read in a book, and it's not from the Bible, so I don't like to use stuff that's not from the Bible, but this is really good. It's life is short, it soon will pass, only what's done for Christ will last. Life is short, it soon will pass, only what's done for Christ will last. That is the essence of having an eternal focus. It's this life is very short, and only what you do for Christ, only what has to do with your relationship with him, knowing him better, and helping other people know him, that's the only thing that'll last at the end of this life. So how do we seek that? Well, look at verse 2. Set your minds. That's how you seek things that are above. You set your mind, you set your focus, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. That's how we seek things that are eternal. We set our minds on them, things that are above, not on earth, things that will last, that are permanent, not things that will stay behind in this life, things that matter, not things that don't matter, things that have value, not things that don't have value, things that are important, not frivolities that don't last after this life is over. How do we live? How do we do that, though? How do we do what he's saying in verse 2? Set our minds on things above. How do we live with that eternal focus and not waste our lives in practical terms? It comes down to a couple of things. One is focusing on our relationship with God, and that's primarily spending time with God. You know how our focus determines what we do with our life, and what we do with our life also determines our focus. The more time that I spend with God, the more time that we read our Bibles and that we pray and we sing. And if you think, well, you're saying all the stuff that we do when we come together on Sundays. Yeah, but I'm not saying just when we do it here. It's the more time that we spend doing those things in our own lives. You're driving down the road to work and you sing to Jesus and you have a moment where you're communicating from your heart, and then you start talking and you're praying, and then you start meditating on something that you read, and you put that verse in your mind that you read earlier when you were reading your Bible, and that one verse stuck with you, and you start thinking about it, and you ask God, what do you want me to do? I see what you're saying. What do you want me to do with that today? What do you want to change in me? How is your word going to be living and powerful? Is it going to cut into me today and make me a different person? Having conversations with God, talking to God, fasting on a regular basis so that we bring more intensity into our seeking after God, that sets our focus. The more that we spend time with God, the more our focus is set on our relationship with him, and that becomes more and more at the center of who we are and what we're about. That's one thing. And then our actions pull our focus, the people and the projects, the stuff that you decide, that I decide to do with my life, with our lives, that pulls our focus. So So the different people we involve in our lives and the different projects we do, the stuff that we decide to do with our lives, that'll pull our focus and help us be focused on eternal things. If we open our lives up to other people and we open our homes and our refrigerators and our dinner table and we spend time with people, we open up our schedule to other people, whoever God brings into our life, and we spend time with people but with a purpose, so we're praying for them. And we're asking them to study, and we're figuring out a way that we could speak the gospel in our conversations with them. And that pulls our focus to be focused on eternal things. The more people that I have in my life that I feel like I'm helping guide towards knowing God, that pulls my focus in that direction, because that's so much more important than my car or my guitar or whatever other frivolous thing that I would focus on, which I do all the time. I'm very, very guilty of that. It's me focusing on my relationship with God. It's me bringing people into my life and trying to help guide them. It's asking that question, who's the person on the outside who's not a Christian yet that I'm trying to guide, that I'm investing my time and my prayers and my life in? And who's the person who already is a Christian that I'm trying to guide towards Jesus? Who's my person on the outside and my person on the inside? Who are the people that I put in my life? That determines our focus. That pulls our focus in towards eternal things. Having a project in the kingdom. We're people who have projects. We do stuff. We don't just work. We have projects. We do. What if the projects that we decided to put at the center of our lives were kingdom projects? Well, what would that be? Well, ask God. Let His Spirit guide you. Think about the gifts that you have. Think about the needs of your community, of your church. Think of the opportunities and the needs that you see around you. Let God put a kingdom project in your life where that becomes more and more what your life is about doing. It's, yeah, I fixed my car, but that's not what I'm really into. I'm into this, whatever this is. It's that study or that ministry that is at the center of who I am and what I do. And then what starts happening is we focus on other people and our relationship with God and projects that He puts in our life, is that everything changes where we put our money. Not because we have to, because we want to, because our focus is now there. Where we put our money and where we put our time and our thoughts, and it starts going in directions that are eternal. And if you right now are thinking, okay, I kind of see where that's in the text, but don't I lose a lot? Like, aren't there a lot of things in life that if I don't focus on them and I focus on people and I focus on kingdom projects and I have this like ministry or whatever that would be, and I have these people that I'm studying with, and all of a sudden I'm not going to have time like to do my stuff, and what about the stuff I like to do and the stuff I would like to do, and I don't even have time for that, and so how would I have time for this, and I would love to fast, but I don't have time for that. I don't have time to really focus on these, because if I start focusing on this stuff, well, aren't I going to lose like a lot of the stuff that would make me really happy in life? Look at what Paul says as he ends this in verse 3 and verse 4. He tells us why we would focus on eternal things, on our relationship with God and on other people. And look what he says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." You have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Why do we have an eternal? Why should we have an eternal perspective? Why should we focus our lives on things that will last for all of eternity, on our relationship with God and other people's relationship with God? Why should that be at the center of what our lives are about if we're Christ followers? Because we're eternal creatures. We have an eternal hope. We're going to be with God forever. We will spend eternity with our Father. We have that. That's what our life really is about. No matter what I'm into today, no matter what I think my life is about right now, that's not what it's really about. This is what it's about. And so he's saying, if you have this, and if this life is just a tiny little blip on the radar, and anything meaningful that you would do in this life is a tiny little blip on the radar compared to all of eternity with Christ, why would I focus so much on that stuff? Why wouldn't I focus on what's eternal? Why wouldn't I set my mind on what will last forever? I'm supposed to live for eternal things because I'm going to live for eternity with Christ, and that's what really matters. I live with this eternal hope, so I'll live for eternal things right now in this life. God's children live focused on eternity because they have an eternal hope. So what should we do? How do we How do we apply this practically to our lives? I think it's pretty direct and pretty easy. We should live for the eternity today. We should live our lives focused on what's eternal today. And for you, if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, or you're hearing this and you're hearing about having an eternal hope, and you say, I'm not sure I have that, I would like to have that, I don't think I do, then your focus should be this: I can assure my eternal hope. I can have an eternal hope. I could have an eternal hope that would be so much bigger than anything I have in my life right now that I would actually focus on that for the rest of my life, that would be worth focusing on as opposed to anything else in my life. You can have that when you decide to give yourself to Jesus, to accept Him as your Savior and Lord by repenting and being baptized. In an instant, you become God's child. You enter into Him, and His Spirit enters into you, and you now have an eternal hope. And you have then the potential that what you do with the rest of your life can count for all of eternity. You can help other people have that hope. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, just tell someone. If you already are a Christian, then the application, I think, for us is even more direct. We should live our lives focused on eternity. Maybe for you that would be this: just every day. I like this application because it's like I can do this for a week, so I'm going to do this one. But maybe for you, it's just every day when you get up this week for a week, just remind yourself. Just say, life is short, soon will pass, only what's done for Christ will last. And then you forget exactly the order of it and won't rhyme anymore, you know, by the time you get to Friday. But you know, I'm going to die soon, and I better focus on what's going to last after I'm gone. Just, you know, whatever the essence of, get that essence and just repeat that, you know, every day for a week. And remember for the rest of the day, I need to focus on stuff that will last even after I'm not here anymore, because I will be for all of eternity. And then focus your life on what's eternal. Let me ask a question and just see how the Spirit would apply this to you. What can you do right now to focus your life more on what is eternal? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you're good. Thank you for days like today, God, when you remind us through your word and of the hope that we have, that the promise that we have, that we will be with you for all of eternity. And then your invitation, in fact, your instruction to focus our lives on that now. God, I pray that we would be people who live our lives in such a way today that we build a stronger and stronger relationship with you, and that we guide others to build that relationship so that our lives will count for something eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.